You know, that song said, heaven is waiting for us to come higher. You may be seated. To see everything from a new point of view. That's letting us know that things are not the way, not necessarily the way they appear to be. There's always another point of view. But the only point of view that counts is what saith the Lord. And we have to allow ourselves, we have to be willing to yield to the promptings of the Holy Ghost, because He will show us what view we need to take. Amen. And if He doesn't show it to us, guess what? Then we don't have a view. Because, yes, you can choose anything that you want to. But if you want it to be right, if you want it to be in line with God's purpose and plan for your life, then I strongly recommend you yield to the promptings of the Holy Ghost. I mean, the reason, one of the reasons we're going to be sharing along the lines we're sharing is because I yielded to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. I was getting ready. I just was sensing that I need to start studying the seven letters to the churches, because sometime, probably this year, we're going to teach on it. And my wife gave me a great Christmas gift. She gave me this book, not knowing what the Holy Ghost had been talking with me about. She gave me a book. She found it because it's out of print. And she got it. Now it's $300-$400 to get a copy of it. It's called The Light in Darkness, Seven Messages to the Seven Churches by Rick Renner. Okay. I mean, when I say it's a heavy book, I'm not talking about it's just deep. It's a heavy book. Okay. But while I was getting ready to read it this past week, you know, and I open, because I told you before, I'm more of a skimmer than a reader, but I purpose in my heart that I'm reading this and studying this, first of all, because God told me, but I just have this inclination to do so. So I read some of the endorsements. You see all the pages of endorsements and the dedication. I didn't read the contents. I started looking at the acknowledgments and the foreword, and I'm like, I think that's enough, you know. But then it got to the introduction page, and I'm like, I'm not reading the introduction. I'm just going to go through it. And I started getting this strong urgency, read the introduction. And I'm like, it's the introduction, but again, I'm going to yield to the Holy Ghost. And folks, in reading a paragraph in the introduction, I got such a powerful revelatory truth that if we grab hold of this, I'm telling you, we will never, ever, ever be stopped, slowed down, or dissuaded by the enemy again. Ever. I don't care what comes. If we grab hold of this, it won't matter. It will not matter. Turn with me to John 1. I know we normally start off with John 3:16, but he told me go right to John 1, so that's what I'm going to do. I hope that's okay. Yes. John 1, King James Version. It's a powerful revelation, folks. I mean, it gave new meaning to who I am as a child of God, but most importantly, who I am as a Christian. See, we've lost sight of who we are as Christians, and we've been paying too much attention as to who we are as human beings or as citizens. John 1, verse 5, King James Version. Why don't you read it with me? And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I know somebody's saying, that's it? I've read that scripture a number of times. Yeah, we all have. But do you know what it's saying? And see, we learn how to read, most of us in here learn how to read English. But see, the Bible wasn't written in English. It was transcribed. One of the languages it was transcribed into was English, but it did it using English rules and English principles. But it was written in Greek. So if you want to know what it's really saying, you need to look at the Greek. See, when I look at that verse, light shines in the darkness comprehended it not, I'm thinking, and probably a lot of you are thinking, the light shines in the darkness just didn't understand it. Because in English, comprehend, one of the definitions is understand. And so in reading it from the English point of view, I'm thinking, all right, the darkness doesn't understand the light. But I don't really get that. That didn't really do anything. It never, it was words on a page. The light shines in darkness. Darkness didn't understand it. Okay, we know light always, if light's around, darkness isn't. But I found out something more, and I'm going to go backwards. I'm going to talk about the darkness not comprehending it, because with our understanding, it just works out better that way. And I'm going to get a little technical with some of the Greek words, so just stay with me, okay? The word comprehended in the Greek is the word katalambano. Katalambano. It's compound of the words kata and lambana. Lambano. Kata, listen to this. Kata implies the idea of a force that is conquering, dominating, or controlling. And the word lambano means to seize, to take, or to firmly grab hold of. So when you put them together, it means to firmly seize something, to pull it down, to tackle it, to conquer it, to subdue it, or to take something under one's dominating control. That's what it means. And when you look at that verse in light of the true meanings of those words, it would read, and the light shined in the darkness, but the darkness simply didn't have the ability to overcome it. Amen. Take it down, subdue it, or dominate it. See, the short version is, darkness cannot dominate light. That's the short version, okay? But let me tell you, let me tell you something. Because you got to understand that it means darkness doesn't have the ability. As I've told you, you know, yeah, I'm going to do a sports analogy. That's who I was. But I didn't know what a basketball was until my freshman year in high school. I didn't grow up in the sticks somewhere. I grew up in New York City. And I know that sounds strange, but I didn't know. And so when I found out and I was playing this game, I was so bad that when you go to the, you know, if you go to the park for a pickup game, other team would rather play with one less player than to take me. Okay. That's how bad I was, because I had never played the game. I didn't even know what it was. So I decided, because of that and some other things, I'm going to learn how to play this game, period. And I found a park, and I went into isolation, and I started learning how to play this game. I started doing what I needed to do to play this game. And I got to the place where I could, those that used to conquer me, in the beginning, they were still conquering me, and I was still losing games by 50, 60 points, but I'm learning, I'm competitive, I'm getting better, and I'm taking names. And I got to the place where now I'm on equal terms with them, and then I got to the place where now I'm conquering, and they're being conquered. I was able to do that because I had the ability to make that change. I had the physical and the mental ability to do what was necessary to learn how to overcome those who have been overcoming me. Darkness does not have that ability. There isn't anything that the devil can do to build himself up to the point where he can dominate light.
That's right.
There isn't anything he can do about it. But we walk around in a defeated state talking about what the devil's doing.
Amen.
Or how hard is it he's making it for me. We don't understand he does not have the ability to dominate light. Let me tell you about how powerful light is. Would you go, please, to Genesis 1. Very familiar verse. One of the first verse in the Bible. Everybody can find that verse, right? But I hear her pages turning. I know you're coming back from John. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. What was on the face of the deep? And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be. And there was light. God didn't speak to the darkness. He didn't speak to the conditions causing the darkness. He said, let there be light. And then it says, and there was light. I love the way Pastor Clinton uses that analogy. He says that they argued that there was a big bang theory. He said, don't argue with him. God said, let there be light. Bang! There was light. Then it said, and God saw that the light was good. No, he didn't speak about the darkness. He said, light is good. And then he did something that I saw as a principle that I never saw before. It's one of those real innocent scriptures. And God divided the light from the darkness. In the beginning, God said there should be a distinction between light and darkness, and it should be easily seen. Nobody should have, if you turned out all the lights in this room, we wouldn't have to figure out it was dark. Darkness and light have their own distinguishing characteristics. And it should be clearly seen, this is light, this is darkness. God said, I'm dividing the two. I don't want light and darkness mingling together. I want light by itself and darkness by itself. And light will always, always drive out darkness. And darkness can't do a thing about light. It does not have the ability to do it. And we have to understand that. Like, why are you so excited about this? I don't know. I just am. Because I just realized all this time, wasting all of this time building, I got to build up this defense against the devil. I got to watch. Look, all I have to do is let my light shine. That's all I have to do. That's all you have to do. Just let your light shine, because darkness doesn't have the ability to do anything about it. See, when God saw, when God originally created, he didn't create the earth originally dark and void. Whole other lesson. It became dark when Satan hit it. But when God was ready to restore earth to its rightful place, he sent light. He put man in the garden of this now recreated perfect earth and gave man instructions so that man can keep that distinction between darkness and light. And man didn't do it. Man got mingled in with the darkness, and sin came into this world, or you could say, and now darkness again covered the face of the deep. And when God had enough of it, he sent light to do something about it. Who was that light that he sent? And go back to John 1. Back to John 1. God said, hey, it worked before. I don't need to do anything different. I sent light once. I'm sending light again. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was, and that life, this says was the light. I like to say that light is the light of men. See, folks, this lets us know that light brings life. See, when God wanted to recreate the earth, he couldn't plant, you know, the trees and send the animals. They couldn't do any of that until he sent light, because light brings life. Yes. And if there's no life, if there's no light, there's no life. Amen. None. That's why when you plant, they have to have sun. I don't know of any crops that only grow in the dark. They have to have light. Some need more light than others. Well, it's just like people, I guess. Those need more light than others. But mankind was dark and barren, just like the earth was. And God sent light and said, the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it night. The light shined in the darkness, but the darkness simply didn't have the ability to overcome it, to take it down, subdue it, or dominated it. Verse 6, there was a man from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. He came, tell folks, light's coming to you. Light's coming to you. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the earth. See, folks, that's the reason why we need to understand that darkness doesn't have any ability over us. Every human being was given that light when he came onto this planet, when they were birthed. They were lighted with that light. If they were not, they wouldn't be able to receive Jesus Christ, because the devil could stop them. But every person, every single person that wants to receive Jesus Christ as his or her Savior, the devil doesn't have the ability to stop them, no matter what their past may have been. It does not matter, because they filled with the light. Amen. They just don't know. But once they open their mouth and receive Jesus Christ and they start to learn, then they become dangerous to darkness, as all believers should be. The Word was made flesh, verse 14 says, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. One of the Bible's synonyms for glory is splendor, and brilliance. And when you splendor and brightness. And when you look at brightness, it talks about light. Light. We beheld his glory, full of grace, full of light. Full of light. Folks, remember I told you that if you get this revelation, you'll know what it means. You'll know what it means to know who you are as a child of God, and more importantly, as a Christian. Look at Matthew 5. We need to know this. We know that darkness has no defense against light. Now, Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16, I'm still in traditional King James. Jesus talking to the people. I know the Bible, I don't want you to get stuck on this. The Bible calls it the Sermon on the Mount. But when you read it, it says he turned to his disciples and said. So he was giving instructions to his disciples, and everybody just heard it. It's just like if I was saying something to Deacon Phyllis, it may be something I want to say to Deacon Phyllis because you're here and my voice is amplified. You hear what I'm saying. And if it's something good, you grab what I'm taking this for me too. And that's okay. But Jesus told them, he said, ye are the light of the world. Remember that because I'm going to go back to that statement in a minute. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. He said in verse 16, the same thing that God said in Genesis. He told them to let, God said, let there be light. Jesus said, let your light shine. What is he telling you? Let there be light. You are the light of the world. Let there be light. I was talking to someone once and they were very upset because they said of all the people in the county, there are only 30,000 Christians and darkness is advancing. And I said, only 30,000? I said, the problem is not that there are only 30,000 Christians in Rockland County. If darkness is advancing and there are 30,000 of us, then 30,000, the 30,000 need to be taught that they are light and need to be taught to let their light shine. And the darkness doesn't have the ability to do anything about it. So I don't care if it's one. Wherever darkness is around you, if you, as a born-again child of the Most High God, show up, light shows up. And whatever darkness is in that area has to leave because it has no ability to do anything about the light you bring with you, if you let it shine. Now, the fact that God says, let your light shine, tells us that we have the ability to block it from shining. See, you cannot give the devil the ability to overcome your light. You can't. But what you can do is turn your light off. See, right now, if someone didn't have the ability to come through this door, and we took the hinges off and took the door away, there's nothing there. They don't need to have any ability to come against the door. The door's not there. So they just come in. That's what happens in the lives of believers, folks. That's what's wrong with this world. We've turned off our light, or we've masked our light, or we've covered the light. It's, Dick Phillips and I, we were speaking, and you know those I guess they're sleep masks that you can put on? So because if the whole room is light and you want to go to sleep and you don't want your sleep to be, you don't want that process to be interrupted by light, you put this thing on that covers your eyes so that the light can't get to it. And it stays dark, so you go to sleep. Okay. Well, too many of us put those types of masks on for whatever reason. And so there's no, we cover our light and darkness can just come in. Not because it now has the ability, it still doesn't have the ability, but there's nothing there to stop it. See, he doesn't have the ability to override, but if there's nothing there, there's nothing to override. He just freely comes in. He goes, "Oops. I'm coming on in." I mean, that's because we made a choice to mask our light. That's why Jesus said, "Let your light so shine." That means full light. You know, to the three-way bulb, turn it all the way up. 100, 200, 300 watts. See, God took the restraints off. See, because there had to be, the light had to be restrained in order for darkness to cover the face of the deep. When God said, "Let there be light," it took the restraints off. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine," take the restraints off. Take it off and let your light shine. It means the same thing. Let me show you how we look at 2 Corinthians. I want you to see how one of the ways we got it. 2 Corinthians 4. Now I'm over into the Passion Translation. Verse 6. "For God, who said, 'Let brilliant light shine out of darkness,' is the one who has cascaded his light into us." Cascaded. It's just pouring and pouring and pouring into us. "The brilliant dawning light of the glorious knowledge of God as we gaze into the face of Jesus Christ." See, a power, he gave us the light because there was going to be a transfer of power. Between who? Between Jesus on the earth and us on the earth. See, in John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am light to the world. And those who embrace me experience life-giving light, and they will never walk in darkness." In John 9:5, he says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light." But Jesus wasn't going to stay in the world. Then he told us, he said, "As the Father has sent me, now I send you. As I was sent as light into the world, I'm going back to the Father of lights. So now I'm sending you to be the same thing to the world that I am. I'm sending you to be the light." That's why he said in Matthew, "Ye are the lights of the world." God's intention all along was for us to be light beings. because God knew darkness didn't have the ability to stop light. Just doesn't have the ability. Can't do anything to get the ability. So Jesus had to make sure that we had the same light that he has. The same light. But as I told you before, but we can restrain it. We can mask it. We can turn it off so that there's no resistance. But once we understand that darkness just doesn't have the ability to overcome light, think about everything we can accomplish. Think about the things that you've started and stopped a number of times. Because something happened. You're like, well, the devil just stopped me. No, you stopped you. That's I'm not saying this to make you feel bad. I'm saying this to encourage you. Because if you're the only person that can stop you, when you love you, then you don't want to be stopped. The devil doesn't love you. Darkness cares nothing about you. It doesn't. Light does. God thought so much and thinks so much of us that he gave us an absolute, indefensible weapon against the devil. Light. The light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The devil has no ability to do anything to stop it. We have to know this. We have to meditate on this and think about it. And you start getting excited. Like the more I thought about it, I was up till 3:45 this morning. I had finished a couple hours earlier than that. But I was just sitting down reading the scripture over and just thinking about it. And I was thinking about, do you know all the things I could have done had I known, had this realization, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago? And the Holy Ghost was like telling me at this moment, what difference does that make? What are you going to do with it now? You know it now. So, how do we make sure that we don't mask the light? Well, we need to have a what I call a defensive posture. You know, just I wasn't a boxer, but mommy taught me how to fight. You know, and so I knew how to hold my hands, so I could defend and also go on the offense as needed, you know, to win the fight. Because how many of you know the purpose of a fight is not to lose it? But here's a good defensive posture. Ephesians 5. I imagine this is 5-9 because it can't be 15-9. But this is out of the Passion Translation. Reads, be imitators of God in everything you do. Be imitators of God in everything you do, for then you will represent your Father as his beloved sons and daughters. See, when you're imitating God, you're walking in the light. Verse 2, and continue to walk, surrendered to the extravagant love of Christ, for he surrendered his life as a sacrifice for us. His great love for us was pleasing to God like an aroma of adoration, a sweet healing fragrance. Verse 3. And have nothing to do with sexual immorality. Yeah. Have nothing to do. When you have nothing to do with something, does that mean just physical, or does that mean even thoughts and fantasies? Yeah, all of it. It says have nothing. It's kind of like that word all. Nothing omitted encompasses everything. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, comma, lust, or greed. For you are his holy ones, and let no one be able to accuse you of them in any form. Now, I like the way that the Passion Translation puts that, because that talks about our behavior, that talks about our environment. So that means if I'm going to have nothing to do with those things, then I shouldn't be found hanging out in places where those things are occurring. Because if someone sees me there, then they can accuse me of being one of them. Because they saw me there and they didn't see me casting things out. They saw me downing a couple. You won't see me downing a couple because I don't go there. Okay. That wasn't the tough one. Here's the tough one. Guard your speech. Guard your speech. Period. Forsake obscenities and worthless insults. These are nonsensical words that bring disgrace and are unnecessary. Instead, let worship fill your heart and spill out in your words. All those, you know, little jokes and stories and insults and things we say because we may not agree with who's in the White House or who's leading government, and you're a Christian, you need to stop. You're masking your light. And you're making it possible for darkness to come in. Guard your speech. Say only those things that are praiseworthy. Let worship. See, if you let worship fill your heart, worship is what will come out of your mouth. But if we let some other nonsense fill our heart, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. Say, how do you know that? Because the scripture said, Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So if I say something and then turn around and say, oh, I didn't mean that, I lied. I meant everything I said. I just didn't mean for it to come out in your presence. But if it's not in my heart, it can't come out because it's not there. It says, for it has been made clear, verse 5, for it has been made clear to you already that the kingdom of God cannot be accessed by anyone who is guilty of sexual sin or who is impure or greedy. For greed is the essence of idolatry. How could they expect to have an inheritance in God's kingdom while doing those things? But it says the kingdom of God cannot be accessed. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Let's look at what that's saying. If I'm masking my light, I don't have any access to the kingdom until I repent. Repentance is the key that unlocks it again for me if I'm doing that. But if I'm doing those things and then I'm turning around and I come and I try and pray. So I want to pray down heaven, but I'm over into lust and greed and all these other things. I ain't praying down nothing. I'm just allowing darkness to come in. Because if I don't have access to heaven, I don't have access to the light. And what really makes that so tragic is the light is already in me. But I'm making choices to mask it, to cover it. If I didn't want you to see I had on a vest, I'd just cover it up. Stand here like this. It's there. You don't see it. I have to let it show. I can't be embarrassed about it. I'm not, by the way. I'm just using that as an example. Verse 6. Oh, boy. Don't be fooled by those who speak their empty words and deceptive teachings by telling you otherwise. I tell you, this is okay. God didn't really mean that. God is love. He understands. You know, when the angels sneezed when they were putting you together, they put the wrong body part there. God knows what's going on. It's all right. Don't be fooled by that. It's not all right. This is what brings God's anger upon the rebellious. Don't listen to them or live like them at all. See, there's a problem with the church living like the world. Once your life was full of sin's darkness, but now you have the very light of our Lord shining through you because of your union with him. Your mission is to live as children flooded with this with his revelation light. And the supernatural fruits of his light will be seen in you. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. I'm going to read verse 6 and 8 in the Weymouth New Testament. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for it is on account of these very sins that God's anger has come upon the disobedient. Therefore, do not become sharers with them. There was a time when you were nothing but darkness. Then it says, and I have it bolded, now as Christians. And when I read that, I just stopped and started thinking about what that meant. When it said there was a time when you were nothing but darkness, but now as Christians. That's telling me that as Christians, I have a different responsibility and a different accountability. So it says as Christians, not as Republicans or Democrats. As Christians, not independents, not as conservatives or liberals, not as right wing or left wing, not as persons of color or no color. Not as male or female, not as boomers, Generation X, millennials, or boomettes. All right? Not as children, youth, teenagers, or old fogies. You know. But as Christians, don't be offended by old fogies. Because I would be in that category age-wise. But as Christians, say as Christians, you are light itself. You need to understand that as Christians, we are pure light. And there's power in that light. And there isn't anything the devil can do about it because he just flat out doesn't have the ability. For the effect of the light is seen in every kind of goodness, uprightness, and truth. Folks, we've been given the same life that brought the earth back to life in Genesis 1. God sent the same light in the person of Jesus when it was time to get man reconciled to God. And the Bible makes it clear, based on Pastor Renner's Greek definition of John 1:5, and the light shined in the darkness, but the darkness simply didn't have the ability to overcome it, take it down, subdue it, or dominate it. See, it doesn't matter how intense the pressure of the darkness gets. It doesn't matter how violent darkness tries to attack. You can continue in the truth of God's word, letting your light shine and influencing the world around you, and even the darkest of the dark spiritual powers simply doesn't have the ability to do anything about you. Nothing. I'm done. Nothing. Can't do a thing. See, I could work out, build up my muscles, and get stronger. Darkness can't. It doesn't have the ability to do that. Believers have the ability to grow strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Darkness doesn't. It doesn't have that ability. So why are we being led around by someone who is so inferior that he can't stop us from, he can't even stop us from calling out the name Jesus? Can't stop us. That's why I said earlier, anybody that wants to receive Jesus Christ as Savior can at any time. And there isn't a thing that the devil can do. There isn't a thing darkness can do to stop it. It just simply does not have the ability. We have to understand this and, most importantly, put it into practice. And you will find yourselves doing things that you never imagined you would be able to do. The first thing that'll leave you, or should leave you, is fear. Stop being afraid of the dark. Stop. I need a flashlight. Stop being afraid of the dark. If you're afraid, you need to turn out all the lights and go sit in the chair, sit in the bed, and say, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. I shine in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't have the ability to stop me. You keep saying that to yourself, and guess what? You won't be afraid of the dark anymore. Amen. And you'll go play. Some folks think, I don't like traveling at night, you know, because I'm not sure I can see it. Darkness doesn't. If God is telling you to go someplace, he knows what time of the day it is. Amen. Darkness doesn't have the ability to stop. Now, I'm not saying, because sometimes we go over the top with things. I'm not saying you figure, well, I'm taking off my glasses. I can only see an inch in front of me. But I'm, I'm not saying that. I'm telling you, the devil doesn't have the ability to put that fear in you. What happens is we meditate on all of the negative parts and take away any resistance. I should say take away all resistance. Because if you had an infinitesimal amount of resistance, darkness can't even overcome that. Because it didn't say darkness can't overcome full light. Darkness can't overcome light. Period. So if there's any light that's shining, darkness can't do a thing about it. Amen. So stop thinking, I don't have enough light yet. No. Yes, the same light that you had that allowed you to receive Jesus Christ is the same light you need to do everything Christ wants you to do. You just have to believe it. Are you talking about that faith stuff? Yes, I am. Because it's true. How do you know? We live our lives by it. You're sitting in a building that was obtained by it. You're sitting in a room that was created by it. Looking at the architect who knew nothing about construction, but knew faith. The light will always shine in darkness. And darkness simply doesn't have the ability to do anything about it. It can't stop it. It can't dominate it. It can't take it down. It can't mask it. It can't do anything. But, well, let's say it this way. The only thing darkness can do when light shows up is leave. I mean, that's... I remember once when our sons were much younger, I was living in the Rockaways, and after my run, because I'd take the bus down to Beach 160-some-odd Street and run back to Beach 41st Street in the sand, and then run up the steps to 12th floor and elevated down and run up and elevated down. Then I'd get my sons and we'd go to the park. And they'd be playing. I'd be working on a move or something. And then I'd play a game. there were some kids that were throwing rocks. So my son came over and said, "Daddy, these boys are throwing rocks." And I went over to him and said, "What, guys, what are you doing?" "Phil, we're just having a rock fight." I'm like, "Really?" "Yep." I said, "Well, look, there are other children that are not part of your rock fight. So why don't you guys go over into the baseball field, take your rocks, and you can fight as long as you want over there." One had the nerve to start using foul language. And I said, "Okay, because I'm not born again at this point." "Okay, I'm not born again." But I said to him, "I'm not asking you. I'm telling you, you go in that park, or you see these feet, these sneakers are going to be sticking out of you. I'm going to tell my dad." I said, "You see that car over there?" I started walking to it. I said, "That's my car. Go get your dad." And I sat on the hood and just waited. The guy said, "Come on, Foots, come on." I said, "No, just wait." And I'm watching, and he goes about halfway up the block, goes in the house, and within seconds, he comes out with this guy, and this guy's posturing and talking. I'm just sitting there watching, and I waited until he got probably as close to me as to where Denise was, and I hopped up off the car and just stood there like this. He looked at his son and smacked him in the head and turned around and went back home. Little boy came to the park and said, "Come on, guys, let's go in the baseball field." He said, "Why I tell you that? When darkness shows up and you don't have your light masks, it's, let me get out of here." I mean, that's just what it does. Because it does not have the ability to dominate, take over, take down, stop, hinder, whatever excuse you had. If it's effective in your life, it's because you want it to be, not because the devil is doing it, because the devil cannot do anything to stop light. He cannot. I'm done again.